countries via over 60 radio stations. CTS Productions. Clearing the static to bring you great radio. Welcome to Clearing the Static. News, discussion and analysis of developments in radio and television in the United States and Canada. Now here's your host, the Radio Kid. The Radio Kid. The Radio Kid. The Radio Kid.
Welcome to Clearing the Static. It is the radio show that talks about radio. I am the Radio Kid. This is show number 2328. Bob Cavanaugh back in the secondary studios again. Hello, Bob.
Hello, good to be back.
Well, good. I'm glad you're glad to be back. I'm glad to be here too. We'll both be back for a week.
Yes, for a week, and then you take a week off.
I'm taking a well-deserved week off. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Yes, I am. We are beginning with some news out of the FCC. So we are starting out in state of Oregon, with an FCC ruling. We now know the plight of Kyte, so to speak. That's K-Y-T-E, I believe.
Yes, it is.
Or Oregon. Everybody just calls it Kyte. And yeah, there you go. Well, the FCC has rejected the Yaquinabe Communications petition for reconsideration to revert the cancellation of the license of 102.7 KYTE Independence. The license was canceled in January, with the FCC deeming the license expired, as the station did not operate from its licensed facilities for over 3 years. Following KYTE's license renewal application in September 2021, the licensees of 100.7 KPPT-FM, Depot Bay, and 102.7 the LP in Camas, Washington, filed objections stating that KYTE was operating from an unauthorized transmitter site that did not provide coverage of Independence and was causing interference to their stations. Kyte had completed a move from Newport to Oregon to Independence in September 2017, but filed an STA in May of 2018, stating it was able to operate from the new site on Bald Mountain until generator was sent and returned from manufacturer for a warranty replacement. The STA sought to return KYTE to its former site on Ottercrest Mountain, which was granted until December 1st, 2018. The objectors included spectrum analyzer readings, noting that KYTE continued to operate from Ottercrest beyond the expiration date of the STA, which no renewal was ever filed. In a response to a letter of inquiry sent by the FCC, KYTE stated, due to budget constraints, the state of Oregon did not provide power to the site, forcing the licensee to purchase two generators with which to operate its transmitter. However, licensee mistakenly purchased generators designed as backup and not primary generators, one of which failed and returned to the manufacturer. The manufacturer advised the licensee that the generator was not designed for primary use and further advised that it had failed due to the use of bad propane fuel. Licensee's effort to rectify the situation with the generator manufacturer, the propane supplier, and ensure we're unsuccessful. Because of the pandemic, the licensee was unable to afford to purchase a new generator, and it further lost its lease to the Bald Mountain site. The station claims it has been unable to find another site to provide coverage to Independents, and asked for a short-term license renewal so it could find a buyer to reestablish service to Bald Mountain. In its petition, Yaquina Bay Communications argued that it should have been only fined because of its equity and fairness due to the commission's treatment of licensees in a once-in-a-lifetime poor economic conditions caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. The commission contends that they have failed to demonstrate how the COVID pandemic, which did not commence until more than a year and a half after YBC commenced unauthorized operation, would warrant the exercise of discretion under the equity and fairness provisions. The FCC adds that in the present case, YBC's difficulties ultimately stemmed from its business decisions and site selection and equipment purchases. YBC cannot rely on its mistaken belief that the initial technical STA could not have been extended beyond the expiration date. Finally, YBC cannot blame its inability to replace its faulty generators on financial problems caused by a pandemic that was 21 months in the future. The response also says that KYTE failed to make clear how their station would return to legal operating status, as the former operating site does not cover the City of License of Independence and is the only station licensed to the community. It would be difficult to replace service. Wow, that's a lot there. So let's just sum it up in three short words. KYTE is dead.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I was not quite sure when I saw the article from the Yahats News. I didn't quite understand how the pandemic played a role in this either, because, you know, these issues predated the pandemic.
Right.
So yeah, that and we still don't know either what the status of the other stations in this cluster are, because it came out a couple of less than a week after that license was canceled that the rest of the cluster was in bankruptcy.
That's correct.
And nothing has come of that.
Well, it depends on if it's a Chapter 7 or a Chapter 11. I don't remember which one it was. If it's Chapter 11, nothing's going to come of it unless they decide voluntarily to get rid of assets. If it's Chapter 7, then yes, we are going to hear something about it.
Yeah, and I don't remember if the article even said which chapter it was.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, this is a big loss to the community, because everyone, as far as I'm aware, Kite was the one, like, you talk about full service stations that, like, especially in small towns when everyone listens to for, like, news and information, that was Kite.
Right.
And, like, some of the, I don't know if, it kind of sounds like, from what Michael has said, it kind of sounds like some of that news coverage is also available on 820, but I don't think everyone listens to, you know, not everyone listens to standards.
Right.
And there is no FM. There is no FM for that. I don't think, I know that they run the weather reports, on all of those stations, but I don't think they run. I don't think they run the news, the noon report and the 5 o'clock news on. I think 820 and 102.7 were the only two stations that actually ran those.
Okay.
So yeah, this is a big loss to Lincoln County, especially.
Yeah, but if it's I mean the sad part is, I mean, since it moved from Newport to Independence, I mean the FCC doesn't even classify it as a Lincoln County station.
True.
You know, it all right. It's an Independence station now.
Right.
Or, you know, quasi fictionally supposed to be ...
Right. Which that didn't really make a lot of sense to me as to why they moved it in the first place. I don't know if they were originally going to try and target the Willamette Valley or whether whether what I heard there when I last heard that station was a result of the transmitter move not happening or what, because like all of their sounders, you know, a lot of their imaging was like, you know, from the coast to the Cascades, the rhythm of the valley, but all of their advertisers were still Lincoln County specific advertisers, so I don't know what the deal was, whether they were originally trying to expand their reach and didn't because of the move not happening, or whether they were originally, or whether they were always going to stick with an advertising model that focused on Lincoln County.
Yeah, I doubt that. I highly doubt that. If they changed City of License to Independence, I think they were looking to move targets. So, I mean, that's what most companies do. That, I mean,
yeah,
you don't change your city of license just for the fun of it.
Right. But yeah, that'll be, I definitely hope something comes of this 102.7. Hopefully something will come in the next auction, but I'm not necessarily sure that it'll provide the same level of service to Lincoln County that 102.7 did under Kite.
Well, right, especially if 102.7 Independence is still the license that's sought.
Right, which it probably will be.
Will be. I mean, for all we know, it could be a Class A allotment to Independence.
It'll probably be a C0, depending on it, because the original allotment was a C0. It upgraded from a C1 to a C0,
right. So that'll
probably be what it'll be.
Well, it depends on what is. It depends on what engineer puts what in the table of allotments.
Okay. Now,
if somebody's interested in just doing, you know, radio for Independence, they may not, you know, because of the prices. I mean, that the higher the power, the more the price.
Right.
It all depends. These allotments are not automatically generated as they were.
Right.
So, for all we know, somebody could reduce it down to a Class A for price cost value.
Yeah.
And the FCC, knowing that, I mean, look, the only people anymore who are going to apply for a Class C, a great big license like that, are either going to be your big companies or EMF. Now, yeah. Any agency with any sense knows, and I mean, okay, it's the FCC, so maybe they don't. But any agency with any sense knows that companies like that aren't going to provide service.
Right, but they don't seem to care about that anyway.
Well, right, true. But it's, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if there's an appetite for I mean that, you know, the Class C's can go into the millions of dollars
Oh yeah,
in
they
an
can.
auction. So I don't know. I don't know. I don't think any Lincoln County broadcaster is going to spend millions of dollars for something licensed to independents.
My guess is that license is going to go for around, if I were to guess, that license is probably going to go for around $500,000.
Okay. All right.
I 'cause even if they do, I don't feel like that. I don't feel like a lot of the stations in that area are very highly valued. I mean, if we were talking Portland, if we were talking Portland, okay, yeah, it'd go for a couple million dollars, but we're
Right.
talking, of course, Salem is this new signal would put a decent signal over Salem, but I don't think station values in
Put a
that
si put a
segment.
signal over say put a signal over Salem, EMF.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm afraid of.
Because I've said EMF EMF. EMF wants to be in every state capital.
Yes.
I don't think they have a Salem signal.
They do have a 107.1. It's licensed to Sweet Home that does hit Salem.
Okay. Well, then maybe they won't want it. I don't know. But
Well, I am kind of afraid of that though, because they, I could definitely see them putting, K-Love on 102.7 and then putting air
Air one.
moving air 101 to 107.1. That would fill a hole, between 97.9 Portland and 89.3 license to Winchester.
Okay. All right.
So I mean, I definitely could see that. I don't want it to happen,
I don't either. I don't either.
but
But
yeah, I
it's
mean,
I think that's the most likely outcome. I'm sorry to say that, but I don't think any licensee, especially any locally based licensee, is going to have the money to put up for a big signal like that, if it truly is a big signal.
yeah, unless there is a buyer looking to buy the rest of this cluster, and unless that new company would be willing to put up the money for it.
Maybe.
We don't know that.
Right.
Because I mean, it sounded like with the initial cancellation, it sounded like they were trying to sell this thing anyway. So
Right. Yeah.
that's kind of why I was expecting to hear about a sale, because it sounded like they were trying to sell 102.7 anyway.
Right. Well, and I think if the FCC had let this go forward, I think they probably would have sold it.
Yeah.
But that's not what it turned into. So there we go.
Right.
All right. So there we go. All right. We will move on to some other monkey business from the FCC. And they have made a decision about LPTV stations, or they will be making a decision about LPTV stations at its July open meeting on July 20th. The FCC commissioners will vote on the permanent operation of the 13 LPTV stations to continue providing analog audio service to radio audiences as an ancillary service of their TV service. The so-called Franken FMs have been operating on borrowed time with the conversion of all television signals to digital, originally set for 2015, but eventually delayed until July 13th, 2021. In advance of that date, some of the stations received temporary permission to operate with an analog audio signal on 87.75 on its ATSC 3.0 digital signal. The rulemaking would also require the stations to provide at least one stream of synchronized video and audio programming on the ATSC 3.0 portion of the spectrum at any time the station is operating. The 13 stations that would be permitted to continue permanent operations are KZNOLD, Big Bear Lake, California, KEFMLD, Sacramento, KRPELD, San Diego, KBKF, San Diego, KXDPLD, Denver, Colorado, WEYSLD, Miami, Florida, WTBSLD, Atlanta, WRME, Chicago, KGHD, Las Vegas, WNYZLD, New York, WDCNLD, Fairfax, Virginia, and WMTOLD, Norfolk, Virginia. This order would make their operation permanent, but other than the pending CP of WVOALD Westvale, Syracuse, New York, no other signals will be permitted to commence operation in this manner. All right, I like everything except that last part.
Okay.
I like everything except that. Oh, we're going to let these stand, but we're not going to let anybody have any more of these signals. Or build any more, or use any more. You 13 can stay.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody else gets a chance here. Yeah, not cool. Not cool at all.
Yeah, and I feel like some of those allocations could do quite well.
Yeah.
Like, because, here in Portland, we had a full power channel 6. So I feel like something could very well easily fit into 87.7.
Right, exactly. Yes.
So, yeah, I suspect, I have a feeling that something more is going to come of this. It probably won't be this year or next year. Heck, we may not even be doing CTS by the time this happens. But
right.
I do have a feeling the FCC is going to allow more broadcasting on that portion of the band at some point. I think it's going to be years, though.
Yeah, I know. I think you're right. I think it is going to be years. It's going to be years, not months.
Yeah.
But that is their ruling for now.
Yeah. What's the deal with Syracuse? Do you have any information on that?
I don't.
Okay. Interesting.
I suspect since the brokered stuff all the brokered stuff has been merged onto 1541 or 6.3, and it's not really selling a lot of time anyway. So I suspect, and I could be wrong about this, but I suspect that it when WVOALD launches, if it gets built and launches, it's going to launch with a format in the Fox cluster of some kind. Hopefully something that us Gen Xers and early Gen Yers will like. But yeah, there you go.
Okay, so that was built, or that was. So, what was the original purpose of that? How is that like being granted, or like was that something that Fox applied for and then decided not to build, or what?
No. I mean, as far, well, I don't know. As far as I know, so there was a WVOA DT.
Okay.
And but I guess it wasn't allowed somehow to convert to a digital LD with, you know, with anal, well, it I mean, like any of these stations, I guess because he wasn't part of the Advanced Media Partnership, whatever, you know, I don't know. All I know is it had to sign off.
Okay.
And there's an LD under construction. Now,
Okay.
originally, that, I believe, that allocate, that was, that used to be Channel 13, I believe. And it was either 13 or 11. And it moved down to 6. It originally carried just the audio of Nassau TV when it
Okay.
moved to 6, and then when they wanted to launch the dinosaur in 2013, that's when the WVOA programming moved from 103.9 to this, you know, Franken
Okay.
FM station.
And then that has moved since to 1540.
Right. It's basically it's merged with all the gospel stuff.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting to watch what Syracuse does. Do you happen to know when that, you probably don't, when that CP expires?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I didn't even know that that was a CP until I read
Okay.
that. Okay.
Okay. So yeah, you'll have to look that up and maybe we'll have an update in a couple of weeks, at least a speculation as to when it might sign on.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So moving on to format news, we do have an update for you. We do have an update for you regarding Flynn and what Flynn is doing in Memphis, of all places. Well, we kind of thought we might get an update on these things in just a second if I can get things working properly. Yeah, good luck with that. Yeah, this thing is being difficult. Oh, the world of computers, I hate them. All right. All right. Two changes took place in Memphis, Tennessee on Tuesday, July 4th. Power Media Solutions began operating Flynn Broadcasting's 87.7 WPGF-LD Memphis as Oldies Right on Radio. The station describes itself as playing music from the 1950s through the early 2000s. Power Media Solutions also began operating Flynn's classic hip hop Bumpin' 96.3 Translator, 107.5 WHBQ HD2 earlier this year. The local marketing company is led by longtime Memphis radio and television personality Tina Tilton. Christy Taylor is serving as operations manager. Taylor also worked on air at multiple stations in Memphis, including middays on 103.5 WRBO from 2015 to 2019. With WPGF-LD's flip, AAA, the pig, has moved to 1430 WOWW 97.7 Translator, Memphis. Those signals were most recently CHR B97.7 until 107.5 WHBQ flipped from classic hits to hot AC in late April. The Pig brand had been utilized by Flynn multiple times over the past 2 decades, with stints on 107.5 from 2002 to 2004, 96.1 to 2004 to 2010, 87.7 from 2010 to 2011, and again earlier this year, and as an online brand. The early incarnate, the this new incarnation of the pig is one of the few commercially operated stations asking for listener donations. Well, there
Well,
you
that's
go.
interesting.
That is interesting. All right, let's get rid of that.
So hopefully Flynn can actually decide that this is what he wants to do with his stations and quit changing things around.
It's Flynn. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Good one, Bob. No,
Yeah,
it's
no,
Flynn. They don't
Flynn
know.
changes things all the time,
They
so.
do. They do. They
Huh.
do.
Oh,
They
dear.
oh God, they change. They change more. They change things more often than the weather changes here.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So we will move on to a development that I feel like you're gonna have something to say about. We are moving to Cincinnati, where iHeartMedia's KISS 107.1 WKFS Cincinnati WKFS has joined the growing number of CHR stations shifting to a gold-heavy presentation. WKFS is still playing 3 to 4 currents an hour, but has removed all of its recurrence and recent golds, replacing them with golds mostly from 2000 to 2010. Imaging makes sense, or makes reference to the Kiss You Love is back, and positioning has shifted from Cincinnati's number one hit music station to your summer party station. Well, that positioner is going to have to change after the summer's over. WKFS rose from a 1.9 to a 2.1 share in the May ratings, placing it 15th overall in the Cincinnati market, but way behind Hubbard CHR Q102, 101.9 WKRQ, which placed 5th after a 6.6 to 5.9 drop last month. According to Radio Insight, here is the 8 a.m. hour on July 5th. Chris Brown, Forever, 50 Cent, In Da Club, Miley Cyrus, Flowers, Ciara featuring Ludacris, Oh, Jason Derulo, In My Head, The Weeknd, Die For You, Kelly Clarkson, Since You've Been Gone, Miguel, Sure Thing, PD Pablo, Freak-A-Leak, JoJo Leave, Get Out, Dema and Selena Gomez, Calm Down, Shaggy, It Wasn't Me. So there you go. There's your 2000s station, Bob.
Yeah. Kind of a rhythmic playlist for quite rhythmic 2000s from what that
Well,
was
a lot of
like.
CHRs were rhythmic at that time, though.
Yeah. So yeah, this is a station I'm gonna have to check out.
Yes, it is. Oh,
Yeah.
yes, indeed. Yes, indeed, it is.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, go ahead.
I
No, go ahead.
have been listening to a lot of throwback 2K, and like I feel like if I were doing a 2000s format, that's kind of what I would do. Don't know if you've heard that program. I know I talk about it quite a bit,
You talk about it a lot. No, I have not heard that program.
but okay.
No, I have not heard that program.
Yeah.
But yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah, that one doesn't play quite as much hip hop as what I heard, what I saw in that playlist.
Thank God. Yeah, I mean, but that I think that was the iHeart template, hip hop CHR back then. I mean,
Okay.
that's all hot was.
Yeah. From what you
I know I
told
talk
me,
about that, but
yeah.
that's all it was.
Yeah.
Literally. It's like, oh my Oh, the hit music channel, but we're only gonna play rap. Okay.
Oh.
All right.
Yeah,
How dumb.
I feel like particularly CHR really split in the mid 2000s because Kiss was nothing but rock leaning stuff back then.
Well, okay, yeah, and that's fair enough, but Kiss was using I mean, Ross was writing about this, though. KISS Seattle was really the only rock-leaning CHR.
True.
That was not a template that anybody else was following.
Okay.
So I don't know. I feel like, though, from what I heard, from what I've heard, CBS Radio gave their PDs a little bit more autonomy.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm not surprised.
Right. Including 6 to 112 p.m. starting Tuesday, July. What are you doing?
What am I doing? You know what? I'm not even sure. I'm trying to find something and I'm not finding it. So we will just move on to station sales, here in our little world, where we've got a format change coming up as Rio Grande Christian Ministries of the Valley will acquire Andre Bechara's Spanish CHR Ultra 104.9 KJLAV McAllen, Texas for $1.45 million. The Bechara family also owns stations in Monterrey and Tijuana in Mexico. So I'll look for a change there.
Yes. Although, why does everyone call this Spanish CHR? I've heard this thing. And no, it is not a Spanish CHR.
Okay, enlighten us. What is it?
Best way to describe it is bilingual, slightly rhythmic leaning AC.
Bilingual, slightly rhythmic leaning AC. Okay.
Yes, most of the songs, actually all of the songs are in English. At least this was what this is what they were doing in September 2020, which was when I heard them. All of the songs are in English. Some of the jock bra some of the depending on the jock you hear, that will either be in Spanish or English. All of the imaging, or most of the imaging, is in English.
Oh, okay. All right.
And yes, AC is more of an
Oh,
accurate
more of an
description.
accurate descriptor. Okay. Well, it'll be going away anyway.
Yeah, so you'll have to listen to it before it does.
Before it does. Yeah, I will definitely. All right, that's Mondays. Or not Monday. Oh, no, not Monday. I won't be here Monday. Tuesdays listening.
Okay.
All right. So, in the meantime, we will go to the scourge of the earth. Educational Media Foundation will purchase 104.9 WYGC High Springs, Gainesville, Florida, from JBC Media. The sale contract was inadvertently omitted from the FCC filing, says Radio Insight. EMF's K-Love is currently heard in Gainesville on 88.7 Translator. The station is 104.9, that is currently broadcasting or simulcasting 102.3 WIUS and its country rock hybrid mix.
Okay.
So expect a change there as well.
Yes.
So yes. What is going on with computer today?
I don't know what is going on with your computer today.
You know, I if you can answer that question, you'll be a star. Seriously. All right, so we've got news out of Michigan where we've got a simulcast to tell you about. The ahead of the closing of its purchase of the stations, Black Diamond Broadcasting has flipped country 107.7 The Highway, 1490 WMPX, 107.7 Translator, Midland, Michigan, to a simulcast of classic hits Sunny 97.7, WMRX Beaverton. WMPX had been simulcasting WMRX FM until signing on as translator and flipping the country in March 2019. The addition of the simulcast includes the brand's coverage in Midland proper, as 97.7 Rimshots, the town. Black Diamond Broadcasting has been operating the stations and is Discover Michigan magazine via LMA since October 2020. The company exercised its option to purchase them in April for $125,900. So a format change for the AM, FM, you know, whatever it is you want to call it.
Yes.
Here in this space. This is Clearing the Static. We do have one more story here that was somehow omitted from my notes. Don't ask me how that happened. But it's not here.
Okay. So, that story is?
The transfer of several facilities from one Christian broadcaster to another.
Yes.
Yeah, and, okay, computer, cooperate. One, two, three. People ask me all the time, why don't you like technology? This is why.
Yeah.
This is exactly why. All right. I think we've got it now.
Okay.
All right. So the operator of the Worship 24 network, which is Radio by Grace, is donating these signals to 24/7 Media Ministries, the operator of the Worship 24 network. Worship 24/7 will acquire 91.9 WJEP Casita, Georgia, and 90.7 Lamas, Iowa, 90.5 Ottumwa, Iowa, 95.5 Sioux City, Iowa, and 89.5 Burley, Idaho. As part of the deal, their president, David Harms, will work with Radio by Grace as a strategist for their fundraising. Worship 24 is currently heard on their 104.9 KTDD Tacoma, Washington, 1330 KYOS Spokane, Washington, H&H Broadcasting's 93.7 Brinville Bend, Oregon, and Radio by Grace's 102.3 Translator, Amarillo, Texas. So, there we go. That's what's happening to those things. Yes.
Yes.
No,
go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I lost what I was going to say, so.
Okay, well, I did too. Other than that, that's the news we've got.
Okay. Yeah. 2:40 p.m. Let's see. What have we got here?
Timer. 14:54.
And we have just under 15 minutes left.
Oh, okay. So we're not counting this as part of the. Okay, fair enough.
Well, I thought the cutoff was 10.
Oh, was it? Okay. Okay. Fair enough. I thought it was 15, but if you say it's 10, it's 10.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, how do we fill time for the next 15 minutes?
Yeah, you know, I'm not even sure. I don't know. Do you have any thought? I guess we'll go here since you were not here for the past couple of weeks. I mean, I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on this somewhat important but somewhat ridiculous LPFM window?
Well, as I told you and Jake, I talked to Jake also on Wednesday. As I told both of you, I think the one allocation to watch is going to be 95.3 in Seattle.
Right, right, exactly.
Other than that, I hope Jake can get a Can get something in Geneva, and the other thing is that it looks like the 107.9 in Springfield. I'm hoping Springfield Community Radio can get that.
Yes.
Other than that, though, there's nothing that I'm watching here.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing I'm watching here either. I mean, yeah, I know Jake is as excited about it as a hummingbird in water.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't blame him. I really don't blame. Well, I'm glad the two of you got to talk about it then.
Yeah, we got to talk about it. And so yeah, it sounds like he's quite excited about it, and really it sounds like he, of course, he's involved. He's also, of course, still involved with Springfield, and so he's on this in two different fronts, whether that be, you know, from his own thing in Geneva, which it sounds like he's trying to partner with a couple of different arts groups in Geneva, and of course Springfield Community Radio, in their quest as well.
Yes, definitely.
So.
Well, yeah. But no, other than that, no thoughts on it. Well,
Yeah.
I just, you know, as I said on air and as I said to Jake, I think the timing of it is a bit ridiculous. Like, not the timing of it, but the what we're going to release it, and then we're only going to give you 4 months to get it all together. I think it was done to get this out of the way.
That's what Jake thinks too.
You know, nobody wants to deal with it.
Yeah, that's what Jake thinks too. And I don't even know, like, how. I do kind of wonder how many, given the short time window and, you know, what's available, I wonder how many people are actually going to apply.
Right. Right. Yeah, I wonder that too. I don't think you're going to see that many applications.
Yeah,
I really don't.
We had a lot in 2013. I was surprised at how many there were in 13.
Well, because so many spots opened up, and remember back then we didn't have all these groups hogging for AM and FM translators. So,
right.
You know, oh, let's play for this one because we need more translators. No, we don't. But.
Well, and the FC, I know that there was at least one translator application that was denied before the window opened because the FCC denied it because it was taking an LPFM spot.
Oh, which one was that? I didn't hear about this.
I don't. It was one in Seattle somewhere. I don't remember where now.
Okay.
I don't remember, but I want to say I saw something about that on radio discussions that there was some debate about that trans, that I don't even remember what it, I don't remember what it was even that was trying to be moved in, but
oh boy.
It was some translator. I know it was a translator that was denied because the FCC was going to give that spot to an LP. I don't remember where it was now, though. I want to say it was 101.1, but I could be wrong.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, and I mean, if you've seen the Seattle board, I bet Kelly, what's his name, is probably...
There is nothing on it about the Seattle board. The most recent discussion on the Seattle board is about a 90.3 translator in Graham, which apparently has a permit to move to 89.1 that is wiping out KEXP in that area, if KEXP ever reached that area.
Oh, okay.
And there hasn't been any discussion on that since Tuesday, so...
Oh, all right. Well, yeah. I mean, I still think, around here, I don't think there's going to be any, I don't think there's going to be anything in upstate.
Okay.
I really don't.
Not
You
even
know,
something in Albany or Rochester?
there's nothing available.
Okay.
There's nothing available.
Well, okay, actually, what about that 105.9? I want to say it's 105.9 in Cobleskill. You think someone
Okay.
can grab that?
Somebody could grab that. That channel is open now. Whether or not somebody would, given the fact that the previous owners tried to find a nonprofit to take it over and nobody wanted it, so they turned in the license.
Okay.
I could be surprised. It could be reopened again.
Yeah.
Now I will say that I'm trying to get something established here, and for the record, it's not easy because the basically what the community wants, I'll just say this much, what the community wants seems to want around here doesn't fit what an LPFM is supposed to be for. So that's the issue. Well, that and funding from a non, because I don't have thousands of dollars right now or at any time. I mean, I'm sure I've yeah I'm sure I, Jake and I went back and forth about that, and I'm sure he had some thoughts on that as well. But I, you know, it's
Do you have to be a 501c3?
no, but you do have to be a state nonprofit,
Okay.
and you and in the state of New York, you need three or more people willing to serve on a board.
Okay.
So I could not set up an individual not now in most states you can.
Okay.
New York is one of the few exceptions.
Okay. Yeah, because in my area, I could say, hell, I Clark County Council of the Blind could apply for a non for a, for an LP if we wanted to. We do not have the funding for it, but
Right,
We
right.
are, we actually, we are required to be by WCB's constitution. We are required to be an active nonprofit in the state of Washington, and we are. Actually, I need to call Abby about that because our renewal status is at the end of next month. But we are a nonprofit in the state of Washington, so heck, we could apply for an LPFM if we really wanted to. I would probably be the one running it, and A, there's nothing available here in Portland, I don't think, and B, that does go that is going to require a bit of money that we don't have. So,
Well, yeah, absolutely.
but.
But I, you know, it's a thing, and everybody's talking about it, so there we are.
Yeah, I mean that would be really cool if account that we would probably be the first American Council of the Blind chapter anywhere to have a radio station if to have an actual over-the-air radio station if we could pull that off. That would be kind of
Yeah,
cool.
that would be very cool. Although I wonder if your corporate headquarters would say, all right, you've got a radio station. Now, the only thing you can put on it is ACB Media Streams.
ACB does not, if it were NFB, NFB would probably mandate that. ACB does not mandate top down.
Okay.
That's one of the big differences between ACB and NFB. If NFB had a radio stream, they would probably mandate that.
Yep.
ACB does not mandate top down.
Okay.
That's probably what we would do with it because we don't have the resources to put into programming it. But
Right.
Although I would probably, if I had any say in it, we'd probably break away for at least for clearing the static and Radio Serena, if nothing else.
Yes. All right. And I was going to say you could run that hot AC using Zara that you've always wanted to run.
That's true. Although that's probably going to be a one time, that might be a one time thing. So.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah, with Zara being the difficult software that it actually has turned out to be for you, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I would like to, try and run a station for more than a few hours with it, but I don't think that's going to be unless I can, like the problem with the way Zara works is it ha like. Okay, a station like Charlie could run on Zara, but Charlie is completely automated. And actually that Bright AC format would probably have to be automated if it was going to be turned into a 24/7 format, unless someone wanted to actually track it. But like that I think is the biggest issue, is that there's no scheduler. And so yeah, we'd have to have something, we'd have to have something that generates the playlists, and then if I can figure out how, I feel like there should be a way to automate the switching of the voice tracks, but I haven't been able to figure that out yet. That those are the two biggest issues that Zara has currently. But yeah, yeah, actually too, I think if I were to keep that going, I would have to, I think I'd change the formula of how I run the clocks too. What I'd probably do is, so like the way the Bright AC work, the way that's going to work is I just decided, okay, if I have it and it's played on any of the radio stations I'm listening to, I'm throwing it in if it fits the format. What I do if I were turning it into a full-time format is probably pick like four or five stations and just run it off of, just if I have anything that those four or five stations play, it'll go into the list.
Well, what you'd probably want to do. If you're doing like heavy, medium, light rotation, your powers are probably actually going to have to be powers rather than, oh, I'm hearing this on this station a billion times, so it's going to play, I don't know, a Billy Joel track every hour because I'm hearing it every hour. You're probably going to want to instead, like, no, let's put the sadly, let's put the latest Dua Lipa track into that
Well,
power
yeah, I
slot.
mean that's
You
probably what's going to happen anyway, because
right. I mean, but
yeah.
that's, I'm just saying, like, I mean, for the experimental format that you're doing, that's fine. But
Right.
I don't think a power, it's unusual to put an old song in power.
Yeah, well, then again, anything can happen these days, so
Well, okay, fair enough.
yeah,
Fair enough.
and that was our timer, so.
Oh, okay. Well, that works out for me. Listen, I'm not here next week. So somebody will talk to you next week, but it won't be me. Ha
Right, it'll be me and Jake, probably.
Okay. Well, then I will talk to you in 2 weeks.
All
Bye-bye,
right.
everybody.
Bye-bye.
Zoom, meet the on mute.
Thanks for listening to Clearing the Static. the show that talks about radio. You can contact us at Clearing the Static via call or text to the CTS Productions listener line at 315 236 2001. You can email us at clearingthestaticradio@gmail.com. All shows are archived for playback on our website at clearingthestatic.blogspot.com. Clearing the Static is a presentation of CTS Productions, which is solely responsible for its content. The views expressed on this program are those of its hosts and do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of this radio station. Please join us again next time for another edition of Clearing the Static, the radio show that talks about radio.
Independently owned and operated by Serena Alexia Kyle, CTS Productions. CTS Productions. Clearing the Static to bring you great radio.